Here we go, Judith. Music. We're not in a field, though. Music. We're not listening to music in a field, are we? No, we're indoors. Thank God, we're indoors with flushing lavatories.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Now, I'll tell you what, this episode, I can't remember the number of this episode.
Neither can I.
No, we're going to call it the latitude catch-up episode. And I want to know, Judith, how you are feeling mentally and physically post-latitude festival.
Well, yes, and ditto with you. I don't think I've really recovered. I mean, this is the thing when you're old ladies, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? My mother used to say to me, oh, it'd take me a few days to go over that. I said, for God's sake, what's wrong with you, woman? No, I'm still a little bit sort of jet lagged.
Well, I think that your experience was a little bit more sort of hardcore than mine.
Well, you're not kidding.
You stayed another night.
Yeah,
I know. You did two nights. You were meant to do three. We'll get on to that later. we'll just sort of get it. We'll worm our way in slowly,
We've got a lot to say before then.
So, I mean, the thing is, because of the latitude, I mean, I never thought it would go ahead this year. That's the genuine truth of it.
No,
so I was quite gung-ho and said, yeah, we'll do it, thinking it'll never happen. You know, this pandemic ain't over yet. And then, of course, you know, restrictions lifted and it was all action stations go.
Yeah,
and I'd always said to you, in a rather horrible way, that I didn't actually have time to physically prepare anything for latitude. So if we were going to go, I was going to hand the practical...
on my head. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, come on, you're doing a tour. And it came along, didn't it, as an offer? I mean, I don't get many offers at all. If that's the
We're not talking about your sex life now, do you? We're talking about
we can come on to that. Not that there's anything to say. No. So I was dead keen, because you know
so
me.
Keen. You were keen
so
as
keen.
Mustard.
I was a keen girl. Yes, please, like a little panting little Labrador with its tongue out going, ah, ah, ah. Yes, please, that sounds really exciting. It'll make me feel like a young person again.
And there was me being bitter and cynical in the background going, oh God, do we have to really? Okay, if we're going to do it, you're going to do everything. Over to you right now.
So, I mean, everything, didn't I, really?
You did,
I did.
Because,
oh my God.
You did, but you sort of wanted to. And there was a bit of you that kind of, I think there was some of it that you kind of overdid, but I'm really glad that you did because it meant we had a lavatory.
Well, I want to hear what you think that I overdid on. But,
No, I don't think you overdid, but I think that you packed a hell of a lot.
Oh, I did.
A hell of a lot.
I know.
I think there were probably a number of things you didn't use over that weekend, but I'm not sure because I wasn't totally involved. I mean, for starters, there was a camper van. Now, that was great because, you know, neither of us wanted to go in a tent. So the camper van was, tell everybody about the camper van because it was a fabulous camper van.
It really was, yes. I mean, so this lovely couple called Tamsin and Andrew, honestly, really lovely. They run to a company called Rock Up Rentals and they're based in Whitney, which is very near where we live. Somebody recommended them because, you know, the whole world wanted camper vans this summer.
Yeah.
And they just started. So I think they've just bought this vehicle and, you know, it was jolly expensive. Do you know, I think we were one of the first people to rent it. And they gave it to us as a sort of knockdown thing because, you know, we were going to talk about them on the pod. But they were genuinely amazing. Just to put you in the picture, gang, they put in its little fridge some mushroom pate for
mushroom
Jenny
pate.
And some coleslaw. And they bought some thick and thin-rimmed mugs. Especially
properly equipped camper van. I mean, I was tearing it apart to try and find the drugs, obviously. I thought, they've got to be inside here somewhere. You know, where's the bag of coke?
Well, I tell you where they'd be. I tell you where they would be because there is a little compartment. I don't think you discovered it underneath the passenger seat where you could
put various
bits.
I couldn't find it because you told me there was a fruitcake in there and you sent me to find it and I genuinely couldn't. I nearly got a sort of screwdriver out and started taking the seat apart.
I love the idea of being told, like a sniffer dog, where the fruitcake was.
Yeah, no, I genuinely could not find that. But there were lots of hidey holes and cat. You know, that it was a, like a little doll's house on wheels, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it?
It was. There was an oven, Judith. I was quite disappointed when I got there that there wasn't a chicken roasting in the oven. I thought, I'll get there. She's very well equipped.
Don't push your luck, Claire. Don't bloody push.
There'll be a spread. I'll get up to that campsite. The first thing I will smell will be rosemary, chicken and rosemary and some little tiny new potatoes roasted in their own skins. That would be... Anyway, there was some crackers. And there was some hummus. Yes, there was. And I bought a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah,
which I have to say went down well the next day for reasons we shall discuss later. Okay, so this camper van arrives and it's a state-of-the-art new camper van.
It's brand new, expecting
one of those sort of, you know, half one colour, half the other, the old-fashioned kind,
quirky,
which apparently an absolute pig to drive. So this was... You know, all bells and whistles.
Yes, it was. I mean, it wasn't... I now know the difference between a motorhome and a camper van. Motorhomes, you know, you have the bed sort of made up inside, don't you? But this is a camper van, which means that it's got everything in little tiny Wendy house kind of little compartments, as you say, little cutlery drawers with little zips on, a little gorgeous little big bay where you put your bucket and your collapsible bucket, collapsible washing up bowl. And all of that, all your bedding and your bits for your water, and there's a little bit of a vertical cupboard there and a tiny bit there to hang your coat, hooks. It was just like, you know, the corner in the Wendy House corner at school.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like being in that, wasn't it? But with, you know, like a grown-up version of it. It really was.
It was very well equipped. And I liked the fact, because it had that little gas hob, didn't it?
Yes.
And what I liked best about that was you did this clicky thing, clicky, click, 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 to get the gas out.
Yeah.
And the gas smelt of bedsits of when you were younger. And it took me back to when I was about, you know, in my late teens, early 20s at drama school, living in bedsits, and you had the gas hob.
Yeah,
and that lovely smell. Oh, I do enjoy that.
But it took you back to that, and it took me back to, I think, caravan holidays when I was little. But it's a very, very powerful kind of smell that you don't hear. You don't smell
it in
any
other context.
We
don't smell it enough. I mean, really, Dior needs to sort of get a perfume out that smells like that, because I'd dab that behind my ears. I really would.
Right. But I need to just back up a little bit in terms of the kind of sweltering run up, because I have got to admit, Jenny, that in the couple of days leading up to getting that camper van on the road,
you regretted it, didn't you? Yeah.
Oh Jesus! Well, the thing is that the girl said, "Oh, you're going to Latitude. Oh, that's nice." And I said, "Yeah, I can get a free ticket, and I can get one cheap ticket, and So it kind of it snowballed into this great big sort of, you know, mini family holiday. So
it was a Parker family jolly, basically.
It was.
I had to be adopted for the weekend.
Yes, into
this tribe. Because I thought Phoebe might be able to come, but she'd only just got back from New Zealand. She was opening a new show in Coventry, so it didn't really work out. But anyway, it was great because it meant that I could get a lift with your London daughter, Ellen, who's in London, and I came with her. You see, it all worked out in the end.
You'd
arrived the night earlier, which I'm very glad I didn't have to do an extra night.
Jenny,
I think it was hard work, Judith.
Oh my God, it really was. So there was this sweltering run-up where I was packing everything from a dustpan and brush to sleeping bag.
That was unnecessary. What did you use the dustpan and brush for? Nothing. Okay, so that's one thing that you didn't need.
Yeah, okay, guilty. So the idea was that Sienna, Hannah and myself were going to spend the first night. We had to bagsy the tent space, bagsy this, bagsy that, mark out our territory for when you and the other two arrived. So bloody hell, we had our work cut out. Not helped by the fact, Jenny, Sienna had to drive all the way for reasons that are too boring to explain.
And no, it's not boring. They wouldn't give you insurance.
They wouldn't give insurance
because you admitted you were going to go and gig. You can never get insurance if you're a performer. You just can't. You can't drive a car to work if you're gigging. That's a simple thing. It's just one of those things. It's prohibited.
So I poor old Sienna.
Sienna's meant to be having a nice little holiday, and then she ends up doing all the driving.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Hours and hours.
But she's
hours
very capable. She's honestly. At least you've got one capable. Well, I think Ellen's quite capable as well. Phoebe couldn't do that.
Couldn't she?
No. No, she hasn't driven since she passed a test.
She had to be like you and not be able to go on motorways.
She couldn't go on a motorway. She went, no, she'd have to sit on a booster seat. It'd be hopeless.
No, Sienna is very capable. And my God, did she have to put up with me. Because before Hannah got in, which was just the last sort of lap, unfortunately, for reasons that I don't understand, we tried to connect my phone or her phone or both of them to the, you know, the posh sat nav on the camper van, but it wouldn't tell us anything. So what would happen is that the woman would come on and she would say, at the next roundabout, go. And then she'd stop talking. So all we got. So I was in charge of the sat nav, very dangerous. And apparently, I now know, because Sienna told me, because it kept rerouting us, is because I kept enlarging it. You know what you do when you stretch it?
You touched the wrong button. Were you touching the wrong buttons accidentally?
Yes, I was.
You put your mucky paws on the screen, and as you did that, you were sort of returning to base.
It was rerouting us. Yeah. So, I mean, it took us, honestly, I mean, Sienna was very patient, but I reckon it took us an hour and a half longer than it should have done to get to bloody Bury St Edmunds. You know, we kept seeing Cambridge, and then we'd go back the other way. Oh, it was awful. And Sienna was very, very patient with me up to a point. Anyway, it took us hours to get there, hours and hours to get there. But Jenny got there, and you know we had all those kind of emails from Connor, poor sod, who was organising it all. Got there, you know, we were sort of channeled off. Instead of going in the long queue with everybody else, we were sort of siphoned off to the VIP area, sort of. And I was so thrilled. I got my, wristband, like all the young people, but what did it say? It said performer. Oh, yes, was I thrilled. Oh, my God. I actually think I might have danced with joy. It's rather sweet.
You haven't still got it on.
I only took it off yesterday because it was starting to pong a bit. But yeah. I was so pleased with myself. Because, you know, it was quite something, wasn't it? Because you could kind of wave it and go into kind of the, you know, the green room bits at the tent.
It does make things bearable. I'm sorry to be snobby about this, but there are perks. Performing at festivals. There are areas you can go. Mostly it just means you can find quite a pleasant toilet. Although not near where we were camping. We will discuss the lavatories later. I mean, you know, you did bring a sort of semi-lavatory. Explain the lavatory.
So what came with the lovely camper van was, I think it's called a port-a-loo, isn't it?
Port-a-potty.
And it is kind of small, isn't it? I mean, let's face it.
It is. Imagine squatting down on a sort of 3-litre tin of paint. You're close to the ground. Basically, if you cannot squat, you cannot use a porta potty.
No.
I mean, it had its own tent. It was like a TARDIS. It was like a lavatory in a TARDIS.
Yes.
And it was low to the ground and it was very clean. And we decided that once the porta potty was in its own tent, and that got erected when I arrived with your other daughter and her boyfriend, and he put up the porta potty tent.
Yeah.
And we decided only wee's in the porta potty.
Yes.
Because it was close. It was close to the camper van, let's face it. We didn't need a pile of shit next to the camper
van.
Well,
we certainly didn't. No, we certainly didn't. So, but God, that was a godsend in the night, wasn't it? It really.
Oh, yes.
Oh, actually, having said that, I think you did it in the grass, didn't you?
Oh, anyway. I've had several wees behind trees in the grass. Yes, absolutely. I marked my territory in that site. I really did.
No, that was a huge. It was like this massive comfort blanket, wasn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Knowing that you could get back to the pot of paint if you had to, you could do that. That was, mind you, it was a fair old bloody schlep from the middle of the festival. But yeah, I mean, the truth is, if we are going to talk about loos, because they featured very, very extensively in the weekend, didn't they? I mean, let's
there was something
it.
We were concerned about from the go.
It certainly was. I mean, so the night before you arrived, before we put the little Portaloo tent up, I did it in a bucket. And that wasn't too bad, except that we'd parked right next to big flood lighting and what turned out to be of like the M1. It was like the M1, wasn't it?
So you are sitting on a collapsible bucket in flood lighting. You're kind of on stage like Mick Jagger. It's a massive, and it's floodlit so that everyone can see you.
I didn't think it was going to be like that. When we pitched up, I thought, oh gosh, oh yeah, well, we could just tuck ourselves by that great big fence. You know, it was sort of like, it looked like a perimeter fence. And well, the light will be useful because we'll be able to see what we're doing. Well, it was like sleeping on the M1 with all the bloody service vehicles, and they seemed to be turning round just up the road. But yes, I did a wee in the middle of the night. Wasn't expecting to be in view of people, but I actually was. Not that I gave a shit, honestly, yeah. Jenny.
Nobody
there were a
cares.
Few people, I didn't catch their eye, but there were a few people I could see that were waifs and strays that had obviously had one night stand somewhere. You know, neither of us wanting to look at each other. I kind of pretended I was somewhere else. Anyway, did that the first night. Then we had the civilised Portaloo for the second night. But what was brewing? What was brewing in Irma?
Well, a great big electrical thunderstorm, for one thing.
Well, yeah, but that, but also the poo, the idea that we had to poo. Oh, Jenny, because let's face it, the communal loos on the campsite.
I only ventured into one of those once. I weed behind trees and backstage loos were fine.
Yeah.
But the communal loos I ventured into once and backed out pretty quickly.
Oh, what,
and
you didn't
No. Yeah. I decided that I was going to try and stick to what I call a constipation diet for the duration of my time at the festival. I thought, you know, I'll keep it mostly egg-based and hopefully get home before I need a poo. You know, there was a time, and so I arrived at about midday or 1 o'clock-ish on the Saturday that we were gigging on. I'd been for my early morning. I was clear when I arrived. And I, of course, forgot during the weekend about my do not eat anything that might cause the bowels to begin to motion. And Saturday lunchtime, we found the performers' canteen, which was very nice, in a woody glade. And we had the salmon. I think we both had the salmon.
Oh,
delicious.
Yes. Nice, wasn't it? That
unfortunately, that night, Judith, I made a very, very stupid mistake. And I had a wrap. I had a halloumi wrap with refried beans. And as soon as I finished that halloumi wrap with refried beans, I could, honestly, if I could have reached down my gullet and taken it out, I thought, oh no, that is going to result in a poo at some point. And I do not know when. And it worried me all night.
I know it did. I know it worried you.
Because we
night.
Had a conversation at about 2 o'clock in the morning when I said I might poo in a plastic bag and take it home with me.
Did. Do you know, it's one of the most surreal conversations I've ever had, but it was so real. And I think I woke up on Sunday morning clutching a piece of tissue that had moulded its shape to the inside of my hand because of, in the tension of knowing that I might also have to do a poo. Seriously, we were both seriously considering pooing in a bag. And I was thinking what bags we'd got and we're thinking where we might put them. I mean, God, that is desperate, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, actually, to give the campsite its credit, there was a good sort of cleaning process of the loos. You had to time it to go and sort of do your business just after they'd been cleaned.
Wow. Yeah, but even so, I mean, the thing is, they were, you know, because in some festivals, they have those things that got like the gear stick, haven't they, that sort of flush it. But they hadn't, but basically it was a drop loo, but it wasn't much of a drop.
I don't think they were, no, it was, actually, Judith, I'm struggling with it, with the flashback that I'm actually having at the moment. I'm struggling. You know, when you go to a communal loo and you sort of, you go in sort of full of optimism and then you come out, go, oh God in heaven. Sometimes it happens at petrol stations, you know, when you sort of, and you go in after a lorry driver because it's the one at the back of the shop, and a lorry driver comes out looking a bit ashamed, and you think, well, you know, we all have to go, and then you go, oh, fucking hell, no way.
Oh, the other thing that I should never forget about you being on the shelf. And my God, Jenny, look, come on. You did bloody well getting up there on that shelf. The bed on the top that you see concertinaing up. You did bloody well getting up there. I didn't think you'd get up there.
Well, why didn't you? I'm really, I'm flexible. I never have problems with that. I'm very good at getting small spaces. Very good at doing it. But then I realised once I've got into the small space that I'm actually quite claustrophobic. And that's when I start to have a bit of a thrash thing going, oh, Jesus God. Oh God, I can't actually breathe up here. So, I mean, so you had the camper van and there were two beds really in the camper van. One was on, I didn't understand your bed, but it looked like a double bed. You had the double bed downstairs.
It was great. I had nothing to, a little bit of a bedside table going on. I mean, I had nothing to complain about, except I was cold and you were hot.
Well, this is because heat rises. And I was on the shelf above you. And I mean, I don't know what it was, Judith, but it was hot up there. That's all I'm going to say.
I would say is, unfortunately, I think as part of the sort of induction process, which took a long time teaching me about the camper van, I think there is something that you could have opened to get windows. And I couldn't remember. I'm really sorry.
You left me to suffocate on the shelf like a dog in the back of the car. Meanwhile, you were downstairs on your double bed, a bit chilly. So we both were having our own experiences. Also, prior to that, to get us both to sleep, and this is so hey hey rock and roll, we had a burst of the Cazalettes on Audible. And that's when I felt at my happiest. I thought, here I am on my shelf, I'm quite comfortable. I've got a nice clean duvet and I've got a pillow. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And Judith's downstairs. I'm safe because if someone breaks into the van, they'll get her first and they'll be tired after strangling her. They won't be able to get to me. I'll just lie here very quietly. I'll let them do what they need to do to her and then their sort of maniac hands will be tired and they'll have to leave. I'll be safe on my shelf. And and then we listened to the Cazalettes and I just went to sleep and it was marvellous.
I know, it was very soothing. It was like two massive sort of, toddlers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Being read a bedtime
huge
story
toddlers
to Carver's Town.
In
it
bed,
really was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, do you remember the other thing that happened, of course, in the middle of the night? It was that sodding guitarist.
There's a circle of hell, isn't there?
Jenny.
Why do people do it? And are any... Here's a question to the gang. Are any of you married or partnered with the kind of men who think it is absolutely appropriate? I know we're at a festival, but he started strumming an acoustic... I can't even say it. I'm choking up with rage. He started strumming an acoustic guitar at 2 a.m. and he went on. And I think the last time I looked at my watch, it was 4:30 a.m.
He just didn't stop, did he?
He didn't stop. And nothing was recognisable. I didn't recognise the tune. It wasn't like he did all Bob Dylan's in chronological order or anything like that. No, it was just strum, strum, strum.
It was really deeply selfish, wasn't it? I wonder if anybody tried to belt him. Maybe eventually somebody just took a bottle to his head. They might have done, because it really was terrible. We're all trying to sleep.
A bottle to his head wouldn't have stopped him. You'd have had to cut the strings. You'd have had to cut the guitar strings to stop that man. I can tell you that. But that's festivals. This is why, Judith, I've always been slightly reluctant. But there were moments of absolute joy and bliss and fun. And we were so lucky with the weather. I mean, there was on Saturday night after we'd finished the gig, there was a bit of a thunder and lightning storm. But I don't even think you noticed it, Judith. And why did you not notice the weather after the gig?
Oh, because I was pissed. Oh, Jenny. Well, the relief when I came off stage, because, I'm obviously not used to it at all. The relief, and it sort of went well. I think it did go well, didn't it?
It did go very well indeed. Yeah, it did go very well. And as we came on off stage, you sort of turned to me and I thought, she's turned into a monster. He went, fuck me, I need a drink. Something like that. Something a bit like that, where I thought, that sounds like my kind of line. I thought Judith was saying, a nice cup of tea would be good. And no, fuck me, I need a drink now.
And boy, did I have a drink. I mean, somebody, that nice bloke at the who seemed to be on sort of wine and water duty. I don't know what he was called. That rather nice guy.
Very
with long,
nicely
curly
dressed.
Hair.
Yes. I noticed him because he was nicely dressed and he did pour us very decent glasses of wine. We weren't glasses. They were paper cups, but they were kind of rather large paper cups. I think we drank a pint of wine for the first glass. Yeah. And then you got hold of the bottle. and you topped up.
This was such a disastrous move. I mean, I never drink, do I? I mean, you know, I literally went about 5 years without having anything to drink because it just didn't suit me.
And then you decided after a gig at Latitude, you'd make up for those 5 years in one night. Oh. No, the thing is, in actual fact, we had two glasses each, but it was the size of the container.
I realised
halfway through my second glass that, I was starting to stagger, Judith. Because it's adrenaline and alcohol, and I thought, I'm actually quite pissed now. I'm quite pissed. And so we decided to go for supper, didn't we? That was the sensible thing.
I don't remember that. Do you know I don't remember that?
Yes.
I do not remember going for supper.
Oh, dear God.
I don't.
Yes, I thought you should line your stomach. So we went back to the woodland glade. And that's when I had the halloumi wrap, and you had something else. I can't remember. You had some sweet potato chips. Yes.
I have no recollection of that.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I seriously don't.
Yes, and I talked to the hairdressers and all that.
Hairdressers?
No, you don't remember. Yeah, okay.
I just don't remember that.
Okay, at this point, I realised I was being bitten quite badly, and I've still got separating sores all around my ankles.
Actually, I've discovered mine now. Yes, that's right. You headed back to base.
And that's at this point, I went, oh, fuck, I'm pissed, right? I'm pissed, but I've had nice tea, but I have to have the refried beans. This is a problem. I'm going to try and just, I maybe go back to the camper van and sew my arsehole up. I don't know. But you were keen to hang out with the youngsters from your family. I mean, they were all there, and they were that was you know what the weekend was for. And I just thought, well, I'm quite tired. I don't want to stand up any longer. I like Damon Albarn, but not that much.
I didn't even know who he is. That's
nice. I know.
I still don't know who he is.
He was Blur. And then I knew the Chemical Brothers were on, and there's one song I like of them. Hey girl, hey boy, superstar DJ. That one.
Very good, Jenny.
Yeah. I used it for a sort of walking on stage soundtrack once. Anyway, I thought, but do I want to stand up? And then I just got a bit of a COVID phobia, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I know. No, so you head to the hills, and I
bailed
don't
out,
you.
Love. I bailed,
yeah, you
out.
Bailed out. You bailed out, and I went to the moshy pit that I found them all having a great time. The Chemical Brothers were on. I didn't recognise one bloody thing. I think there was a lot of sort of, where are they then? Well, who's because actually they were wearing masks, I think.
Yeah.
Do they do that? And I think they were DJ. Yeah. So
and did a robot come on stage at one point? They usually have big lit robots,
yes,
kind of thing.
I think
you
so
can't remember. You're not reliable, Judith. You were too pissed.
I was obviously pissed, wasn't I? But I was kind of in the groove, you know. I was kind of in the groove, and I was sensible enough, Jenny, not to have anything else to drink. Thank God.
So you came staggering back, and I can't remember what time it was.
Oh, I've no idea what time it is. Haven't got a clue. Don't think it was that late. Got home.
No, to be quite honest, Judith, I think it was about 10:30. No, it might have been 11 o'clock. And I think it's 11 o'clock because the two of us were actually tucked up by midnight.
Yes, or easily. Probably a bit before. Yeah, weren't able to get to sleep, but we were tucked up, that's for sure. Yeah, not a bad night, despite, you know, guitarist, you know, so memorable. But you know, not too bad, really. Not too bad. I woke up on my birthday, did I not?
Yes.
And initially, I think, didn't feel too bad. Thought, bloody hell, I've got a bit of a headache. No. And I packed some, you know, despite the fact that the van was packed to the gunnels, I didn't take any paracetamol.
No, who had the paracetamol? Who was equipped with the paracetamol? Would you like a paracetamol, Judith? Oh, yes, please.
So I had two of those, and I downed a great deal of orange juice.
Oh, that was the biggest mistake. I wasn't in the van when you did that. Otherwise, I'd have snatched it from your hand. Worst thing you can do when you might have a hangover, drink loads of orange juice down in one. I was going off to queue for a shower at this point. By the time I got back, you were sitting way-faced. In a sort of camping chair. I mean, when I say way-faced, you had your dress on inside out and you had some toilet paper stuck to your foot. And you said to me in a shaky voice, what did you have to admit at this point?
Oh, I think I probably had the worst hangover for about 25 years.
Had you just done? What had you just actually done?
I've just been sick in the washing. I've been sick in the washing up bowl.
Yeah, you'd been sick in the washing up bowl, Judith. Was that a washing up bowl you'd so bought yourself, sick. Or was it part of the camper van equipment?
It was, but honestly, Rock Up Rentals, don't panic. I washed it,
bleached it out. It's been bleached out. Fortunately, she bought her own bleach and a scrubbing brush. So,
it was bad. Worse than that. I mean, poor old Sienna. Sienna basically had to become my primary carer. I should take it off to the woods. I remember saying to her, I don't care, just take it away. Oh, God, I was bad.
I didn't witness that, because I was in this shower queue and, I was sort of being quite good about it. And then after about 20 minutes standing in queue, I thought, fuck this. I'm going home anyway. I'm just going to stink all the way home. I don't care. And that's when I got back to you and Sienna had just, sorted out the bowl. Yeah. And you didn't know whether you'd be able to eat. And you kept saying, I don't know what I should have. There's a bit of me that nearly snapped. Nothing. You should have absolutely nothing. Because whatever you have, you'll bring it back up.
Well, your peanut butter cane that came in.
And this is where
actually.
I didn't pack that much. Well, I had quite a lot because I had a big suitcase with me, but most of it was microphone stuff. And I did bring two useful things, paracetamol and peanut butter and some rice cakes.
Yeah.
And you managed a few of those. You managed to get those down, didn't you?
I did. Sienna kept making me pots of tea with the kettle, thank God. But then I had to go for a poo, which wasn't, anyway, that was inevitable. I had to, had to make a, basically.
Yeah, that's
a
alcohol for you, you see. That it goes to the bowels. Yeah. And, I was keeping it in until I got home. I didn't quite make it. I did actually. But no, I had a tiny, tiny little poo in just when they just cleaned them out. It wasn't too bad. But I think you went a bit after me. Was it quite awful?
Oh, it was bad. But, I was in such a bad state. It was, it was all kind of relative, really.
You were in a dark place at this point.
Oh, I was
in a dark place. Your first hangover in 25 years and you had to poo. It's bad. Yeah,
it was bad. It was bad. I mean, I genuinely thought, for about an hour, I thought I'm going to have to ring up Mike and he's going to have to come and get me. I don't know that I can get into a moving vehicle, but he's going to have to come and get me. Because the other awful thing is, I thought, well, Christ, we've got to unpack all this. We've got to take the tents down. We've got to fill the van. Oh, my God. But I did. I rallied. I rallied after the peanut butter. And I rallied
after you puked up and you had nothing left in your system. Yes. You had a bit of peanut butter line your stomach and then you were fine. By the time I left at about 11 o'clock, you were sort of perking up, Judith. You were enjoying your presence. You had a smile back on your face. You were wearing a birthday rosette and you were about to stride off back to the festival main site.
What happened to you when you fled?
Well, I fled. Yeah, I thought I'd be very good. Instead of sort of getting a buggy again, I'd go on this shuttle bus. But I just missed a shuttle bus, so I did. Of course, I got a buggy. And then I got to this. Honestly, it was so far away, Judith, where the taxi pickup point. And then I got a taxi all the way from Latitude to Dis. And then I used my senior rail card for the first... Oh, Judith. And I managed to get, I nearly said a flight, but a train back from Dis to London. Yeah. First class for £14.75.
Oh, bloody hell,
It was such a moment. And of course, because I'd fled the site so early, I got to the train station an hour before my train. There was another train in. I said, can I get this with this ticket? They went, no, you can't, because you're pre-booked.
You're pre-booked.
Sit and wait. And then the skies opened. And I have to say at this point, because I'm not a pleasant person, I thought, well, I'm so glad I've left Latitude. And I... genuinely thought you'd been a swamp and I thought the camper van would be sliding backwards and you'd have to put the chocks under it and all that kind of thing. But apparently it didn't rain at this festival.
No, it didn't. No, a few spots. It was quite remarkable. I mean, given that this time last week we were talking about Latitude and you read out
the weather forecast,
which was absolutely dire. No, it was amazing. No, we didn't really.
Because in this, I cannot tell you, the heavens opened and it was thundering and it was lightning and it was a bit end of worldy. And then when I got out at Liverpool Street, the surrounding area was just, it was not knee deep in water, but London was flooding in places. I mean, it was really dramatic and quite scary.
Wow. Wow, gosh. Well, we were very lucky in Latitude in that case.
And then I got home and I had a bath. Bath as soon as I got home. And then I felt like I'd been away for 3 weeks. I'd actually left the house not sort of about 30 hours before or something like that. You know, I got in that bath and I looked at my flushing toilet and I thought, oh, bath and toilet. I love you so much.
Yeah. I know. It does make you grateful for small things, doesn't it, really? I mean, I had a ball in the sense that it was one of those experiences that are off, you know, in retrospect, it was absolutely fantastic. At the time, it was quite challenging, but I loved the show and I, you know, we had such a laugh. I mean, that's the point. Actually, it really was. It was a great laugh. So
yeah, I was just hugely relieved that in the morning you were questioning your judgment. That's what really, really made me laugh, because all of a sudden you were so vulnerable and so hungover, and you said very quietly, "I think I want to go home."
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really funny photo on the notice board with me, as you say, on the camp, on that little camping chair, looking absolutely.
And your dress was inside out, and there's a little bit of sick on your knee if people zoom in.
And you're in the background waving chirpily, spitefully. It's a very funny photo, because I had no idea. I was completely oblivious to what you were doing. But there you go. That's festivals. And
we've done it. We've done it. So we don't have to do it again this year. Thank you very much indeed. But thank you, Latitude. No, and thanks for trying to keep it as safe as you possibly could. And, you know, there's some good stuff going on. And we saw some really nice people. And it was a very nice atmosphere in actual fact.
It was. It was.
There were some lovely people hanging around. And we had a lot of help. So thank you to everybody who made our lives easier over the weekend. So I think it is time now, Judith, for Culture Corner.
Yeah. So tell us about Phoebe's play, first of all.
Okay. If you've got primary school age children and you're in Coventry at the moment, there is a production called Really Big and Really Loud, which is in the Travelling Pains Plough Theatre, which is a hard-sided tent, so it's got proper seats and it doesn't let in the rain. It's a waterproof tent. It's a round yellow bubble of a tent, and it's a play for kids, and it's very funny and it's very kind. And at the moment it's in the car park of the Moat House Leisure Centre in Coventry.
Oh the glamour.
And it's the first show she's ever written that's got no sex or swearing in it. So well done, Phoebe.
Yeah, so that's I love the way you say that. It's very funny and very kind. That's actually a lovely, you know, it's a really nice sort of combination of sentiments, that. So
yeah, it's got this great sort of female protagonist who's about 10, and she talks too much and she learns to listen. That's basically the premise of the show.
Lovely.
Yeah. So what about art, Judith? I think you've been to see something.
Oh yes, I'll tell you what I've been to see. I've been to see a sort of installation in South Park in Oxford.
Yeah.
And it's a 300... life-size kind of two-dimensional, you know, models of NHS workers.
So they're like cutouts. They're full-size cutouts.
Yeah, full-size cutouts, that's right. And they're painted and they're all wearing a mask. They don't have I don't think they're based on individuals, so they're sort of generic.
Yeah.
But they're all slightly different. And they've been spaced out over this park. And obviously to represent
is it the 2 meter distance rule as well? Are they spaced at that, so do you know?
I hadn't really thought about that, but probably. But then in the front of it they've got these kind of stories of an ambulance driver and what, you know, some of the things that went through, ICU nurses on one of the worst shifts, you know, people who perhaps helped people to say goodbye. So it's kind of, so they've got these anecdotes at the front, and then this big sort of scale of an army, basically an army of NHS workers that have kind of seen us through it.
And is that going to tour? Is that going to stay in South Park in Oxford, or is it going to go around?
It comes down on Friday, I think, Friday of this week, or maybe Saturday. And then I think they're trying to raise some money to take it on tour. I really hope they get the money to do it. And then you can go into a sort of booth and record thanks. And you can donate money to the NHS, you know, various charities that are relating to NHS workers. And you can sort of say how it moved you or your experiences of the NHS. Yeah. So it's a kind of, it's quite, you know, it's actually a very lovely thing to do. And it moved me to tears. I thought it was really, really powerful. It's called Standing with Giants, and that's in Oxford until the weekend.
Can you remember who it's by? Or I mean, people can Google.
Yes, I do.
This.
Dan Barton. Dan Barton, who
did
is
he do
this...
one a couple of years
yes,
ago
he
with
did.
About
he
the
did.
Army about
yes,
World War One
veterans? He did in Blenheim, and so he's done this with an army of sort of volunteers. Basically, he's he's the guy behind it, and lots of volunteers in the village and the local area have helped him. But it's they're very powerful things actually. Those I found the one about veterans very good. So it's a good formula, if you like, that he's got. But the NHS obviously is the one, isn't it? So yeah, that's good. Recommend that.
If I was nearer, I'd go to that. I was very disappointed, and some people will be cross about this, but I didn't enjoy the Hockney at the Royal Academy. I thought it was bloodless, and it was so full of white middle-class people. It was like slightly kind of, and I know I'm a white middle-class middle-aged person, but en masse, we're awful, aren't we? There's a bit of, when you look at us all en masse, you think, oh, Jesus, no, not all these people in one space. But no, I got told off by a man as well. And I'm not very good at being told off. I mean, what happens with me is immediately I say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm really polite and nice because there is that
side of
me.
Yeah, on the face of it.
And then underneath, there's a horrible bit of me stirs and it just comes up like a monster. And then I just turn around and go, you prick.
What did he tell you off for?
Well, standing in front of him, I walked in front of him. He was quite busy. And I sort of, sometimes I'm not very good at standing respectfully in front of things for a long time. Yeah. And he was standing respectfully in front of things. And I wanted to move around. I wanted to get to some space, you know, when he felt everyone was sort of clogged at the beginning of this show. So I was sort of, I just went in front of him. And he said very audibly to his wife, I do wish people wouldn't just walk in front of one.
Oh, God, honestly.
And then,
really?
Sorry, sorry, sorry. And then the monster stirred. And I went, oh, you prick.
Quite right. I think the thing is that you all want to go around at your own pace. And actually, I think it's very, very annoying, isn't it? If you've either got to shuffle by pieces or, you know, you feel there's a sort of code like that. Because I think it's lovely if you can, you know, well, I like that very much, but actually I really like that. I really want to have a look at that close up. You know, yeah.
I just didn't feel anything merited that much close attention either because they're essentially just prints. And I think the joy of the David Hockney iPad work is when it is presented as it should be, which is lit from behind as a piece of iPad work, which is what you get at Saltaire, which is his museum and gallery up north in Yorkshire. And everything comes massively alive. There goes the clock. And it's just so vibrant and wonderful. And when they're printed off, they die. For me, they felt flat and bloodless. And upstairs, there's this African artist called Michael Armitage, who is painting on bark, but it's like canvas. It's a sort of stretched bark or whatever. And I found his stuff just a lot more exciting. And there's a fabulous collection of Royal Academy stuff in the temporary members cafe. So if you're a member at the moment, the cafe has moved upstairs in the most fabulous rooms with a fabulous collection of portraits. And that really made the day. We had a great day out then. So that's the Royal Academy has got highs and lows. And I'm shocked to say the Hockney is one of the lows.
Telly, Judith. Well, Baptiste, Finnish Baptiste, which kind of is the Fiona Shaw show, really. You know, the wonderful
She's
Fiona
marvellous.
Shaw.
Do you not think that he slightly... No, I'm not saying hams it, but he's doing a fuck of a lot of acting, isn't he?
Well, yeah, you said that. That didn't occur to me, although I suppose he is... It's a ridiculous character, but I love the fact that it's different to other detectives. I do love that. But he is a preposterously unbelievable character. And I know what you mean. He is rather kind of
I
stiff.
Just watched the first episode and he was just around the whole gamut of acting lessons that I did at drama school.
Sober,
sad, drunk,
that.
Bearded. You know, it was a sad habit. Now chewing some furniture. Okay, we're seeing all the things. All the tricks. Meanwhile, Fiona Shaw is just doing that brilliant thing that she does, which is actually not that much and being remarkable.
I know. Yeah. She does, doesn't she? I mean, she's extraordinary in it. It's a very complicated sort of story, and my God, she goes through it. And actually, the last episode is very, very violent. I had to go, I had to go out into the hall and get Mike to tell me when it was all right to come back in. I found it because I think of her presence on screen as much as
she's class, isn't she?
Oh, she really is.
In the sort of antidote to class on screen, I'm still very hooked on Love Island, which has reached the Casa Amor stage. This is a technical term.
Bloody hell, does that mean?
You won't understand it.
What does it mean?
If you've not been watching, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to explain. I'm really sorry because I know what you do. You're trying to get me into a trap. I'm going to start explaining Casa Amor and you're going to do the snore law on me. And I'm not going to fall for that, Judith. I'm really not. But there are a couple of people who I follow on Twitter who are also watching it. Marion Keyes and Emma Kennedy. And I also am watching it for their tweets because they make me laugh a lot.
Now, wait, you see, if Marion Keyes is watching it, I suddenly am quite interested.
Yeah, you see, this is why she's an influencer. Okay, books.
I'm still, as you know, because we were listening to it on Saturday night, still loving Marking Time with Elizabeth Jane Howard's Cazalet series. Loving that.
I enjoyed our little nighttime session with it. I really did, because I've read them years ago. It really took me back. And I thought, of course, that lovely lesbian relationship that's really touching.
It is, which I wonder if that will ever get consummated.
I can't remember. I think that there is a relationship. That's all I'll say. I don't want to sort of any spoilers. I'm enjoying Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason. I'm listening to that on Audible. I had to be in the right mood for it. So sometimes I think, oh, no, I can't do that one now. But when I'm in the right mood for it, it's great. It's great. And a lot of people are really liking that it's in all the papers and magazines this summer. Emails, Judith.
Right. So, what do you know? I think I might have pulled, Jenny.
Oh, Judith, well done.
I do. I might have this wrong.
Was there something else you needed to tell me that happened at Latitude?
What do you mean?
Well, if you think you pulled. Did you pull at Latitude?
Oh, not at Latitude. No, this is in the emails.
Okay.
No. I think. Well, I may have this wrong. Okay. So this is from Cal, 67 and 2 months.
She's the right age for you.
Dear Jenny and Judith. Well, he says Jenny and Judith, but he means Judith. Dear Judith, I have spent untold hours in pandemic times bicycling, you see, again, my sort of person, in the wilds of Virginia along the Potomac River on the outskirts of Washington, D.C., with you two chatting in my ears. You've been precious company, even though I am not technically an older and wider woman. No, see?
What? Oh, he's a man, so he's got a penis.
Well, I think he is.
So I skim-read this, and I didn't realise. I thought it was a woman, so it was a bloke. Okay.
Anyway, listen. So my problem is with Culture Corner. Now, he goes on to say that, you know, can you just tell us what you've been listening to? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I've obviously emailed back to say that I don't think you realise, but we have Culture Corner every week. He obviously hasn't got to that bit. But in the last paragraph, Jenny, I'm going to read it to you, he says, and Judith, if you ever come to Washington, I'd be pleased to show you spectacular riding along rapids and through forests and supply you with a fine bike.
You're so in there, Judith. I skim read this, and because it wasn't really aimed at me, you know, I didn't really get much of a mention. I just thought it was a woman. I thought, oh, there's a nice woman in America wants Judith to pop over, do some cycling with her. Now I realise that it's a bloke, and I think Mike should be very anxious.
Well, I think it'd be very nice if it was a woman and be a jolly, lovely thing.
Absolutely. But, you know, if it's a bloke, you might get two kinds of rides going on. Anyway, moving on. There's somebody that starts her email that says, hey, Jenny and Judith, I went to Latitude this weekend, but I didn't get to see you, unfortunately.
Oh, I know.
Right, well, we'll leave that one there then.
I don't think she's in the gang anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, she as long as she's a listener, that's fine. And there was someone else saying that they enjoyed our chat about our relationship with the word retirement.
Oh, yes.
Because I think a lot of us around this age are sort of struggling with it, just don't really like the word. We don't really like the word. So if anyone has any alternatives to retirement, then, you know, join in the conversation. That's all I'm going to say.
And then also there's somebody that saw your fab painting. She says, we saw your fab painting today at Manchester Art Gallery. This is the one from the Grace and Perry series, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Which I'd love to see, actually. Have you seen the... No, I haven't.
Well, I was invited and then we went into lot and I was in Manchester because I was filming Draws Off. And I just thought, oh, great, I can go and see the Grace and Perry show. And, of course, we went into Mega... Manchester went into level 0319B or whatever it was last November, and the gallery shut. And it was just, you know, I just haven't had the excuse to get up there recently, but hopefully one day soon it'll still be up. But
yes,
anyway, gang, you tell us what you're up to, what the best things around the country we should see.
Absolutely. I think we need some more problems potentially. Notice that they haven't asked us to solve any of their problems lately.
Yeah, people don't trust us, Judith. Yeah, people really don't trust us, to be quite honest. Anyway, listen, it's nice catching up. I'm glad you are fully recovered. What did Mike say about the tattoo you had done?
I haven't showed it to him yet. One of these days, you never know. You never know. I bet you were glad to see Jeff, weren't you?
He came to meet me at Liverpool Street. So, yes, I was very glad because, to be quite honest, the up escalator at Liverpool Street wasn't working and I had that suitcase that was heavier than a dead man.
You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. But most of it was technical bleeding equipment that, in the end, I didn't even need. So there we go. We got away with it. Thank you to the audience. If you're listening and you were there and they listening post tent, we are incredibly grateful because those gigs can be really tricky and you made our lives much, much easier. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. Good.
Have a good week. Daisy is on school summer holidays. She's juggling A&E appointments with her two boys who, we know that Etienne is on the mend now, but he had an accident involving his elbow. So she's been in and out of A&E. But, fingers crossed for the rest of the summer holidays, Daisy, and ditto to everybody else. And we'll speak again next week.
Okay. Lovely. Okay.
Lots of love. Yeah. Bye-bye, gang. Bye-bye.
Just before we go, I'd like to say a huge thank you to the people who made Latitude such fun for us. To you, Daisy, to Connor, to the people who came along to the show and gave us such a huge warm welcome. And in particular, to Sutton Seeds, who gave us 300 packets of lettuce seeds to get people who aren't already gardening into gardening. And for also giving us their lovely autumn catalogue for bedtime reading. So listen, big thank you. See you next week. Oh, I'm worn out.